New reporting around Aaron Rodgers' exit from Green Bay, and guess who has something to say about it? Aaron Rodgers. This story is just not going to go away. Plus, we are full steam ahead, the Luke Musgrave train. It's been just a couple OTAs, but let's get hype about it. Plus, there were a couple actual nuggets in that story. We're going to talk about all of those on today's show.
Caught by Watson.
You are Locked On Packers.
He's got great speed.
Your daily Green Bay Packers podcast.
Christian Watson down the sideline.
Locked On Podcast Network.
And he will score.
Your team every day.
You are Locked On Packers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. I'm Peter Bukowski, and I cover the Packers for The Leap, a newsletter I would love for you to subscribe to. Follow me on Twitter, Peter_Bukowski. Follow the podcast on Twitter, Locked On Packers. Like us on Facebook, subscribe to the podcast, iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts. Wherever you find podcasts, you'll find Locked On Packers, the number one Packers podcast on the internet, and the show for fans who know what happened. They want to know why and how. Thanks to everyone who makes Locked On Packers their first listen every day. We hope you like starting your day with us as much as we like starting our day with you. Aaron Rodgers, a New York Jet quarterback, but a longtime Green Bay Packer quarterback. And maybe you, like many people like me, woke up yesterday to a story, a purportedly big story about Aaron Rodgers and his exit from the Packers. And Rodgers had a lot to say. Look, I'm going to avoid getting into parsing of the he said, she said, and the gaslighting and the pettiness and the nonsense. I don't even want to deal with it. I don't. If you want some of my thoughts on that, Peter_Bukowski on Twitter. I fired off some tweets. I don't want to give it any more oxygen than that. And the reason is because so much of what he said is just so obviously a lie. Or if it's not a lie, it is some version of the truth that stretches the definition of truth to such a degree that even bungee jumping tightrope walkers would go, that's a little dangerous. And some of this stuff we just is flat out not true. Like him saying Devontae Adams was looking at the Christian Kirk deal going, what the heck? Like, Christian Kirk got his deal 8 months after the Packers and Devontae Adams broke off contract negotiations. So that was just like not a thing that was happening. So whatever. Okay. Not important. This is why I don't want to mention it. But I did fire off some tweets about it. I do have some takes on it. And eventually we are going to talk about a couple of the things in that story that is actual reporting that isn't just Rodgers being petty or saying ridiculous things like, I respond to who I like, despite saying that he didn't ghost Brian Gutekunst. He basically said, I didn't ghost Brian Gutekunst, but if I did, it's only because I didn't like him. It was just childish nonsense, very in keeping with Succession, basically. It's basically the boardroom scene from the end of the season, the series finale of Succession. That's basically what this piece was. Not what I want to talk about right now. There are Jets fans watching and listening to this right now. What's up? I know you're still doing it. You're still here because I'm still getting the stupid memes in my tweets. I know you're here. Thanks for being here. Welcome to Packer Nation. And I know most of you understand when you see the tweets, you see the stories, you see the conversations being had, you understand intuitively because you're smart. This audience is the smartest audience out there. I have the smartest podcast audience of anybody. I know I'm like verging into some territory here with the framing of this. My audience is the best audience. But I just know you guys are smarter than the average talk show audience. I just know you are. You know that when Rodgers says this stuff, it's news. So when I hear from people who say Jordan Love is the quarterback, maybe talk about him. I know, number one, you don't want to engage in good faith with that because, of course, we talk about Jordan Love on this show. Maybe no one has talked about Jordan Love more than we have on Locked On Packers. We do the show every day, even in the off season. When other people are taking breaks, we're here every day. And I have a newsletter. I have a Twitter account. We talk about all this stuff. But the reality of that is this criticism from those people, because again, I don't think it's you, it's those people, is really, in the case of Jets fans, it's just obnoxious. Frankie from Staten Island just has some takes to get off because he hasn't talked to a member of the opposite sex his entire life in person. That's a separate thing. But the people that want to act like the Packer fans who want to act like we shouldn't be talking about it anymore because he's a New York Jet now. It has nothing to do with who Aaron Rodgers plays for. It is the criticism that is so obvious from these kinds of comments, especially when the comments are so obviously petty and lame. Having to get the little shot in about communication. Oh, it's so much better in New York, even though he went on Pat McAfee multiple times and said, no, things are much better now. Everything's great. Brian Gutekunst has been making an effort, all this stuff. When he could have just not answered, Rodgers is smart enough to know how to diplomatically not answer rather than what seems like an equivocation to the point of being untruthful. It was either a lie then or it's a lie now. It's one of those two things. It has to be. It couldn't be true then and not true now. So, like, that part aside, the obvious criticisms that these things engender, the people who say don't talk about it are the same people who said stick to sports when what they really meant was I don't want to hear an opinion I disagree with. The people who are saying talk about Jordan Love are really saying don't talk about my quarterback like that. That's what they're saying. And I get it. I get it. You're a ride or die for Aaron Rodgers. If that's what you want to do, then that's what you want to do. There are a lot of people out there like that. A lot of media people out there like that. A lot of fans out there like that. And this is true across sports, in every part of every team, in every fan base, in every media. Like this is true of everybody. Some people are just going to die on that hill. But when you say, talk about this other thing, because you don't really want to reckon with the criticism, it's just a concern troll. That's what it is. You are concern trolling. And it's lame. And it makes you look stupid. Sorry. It just does. It makes you look like an idiot. Because, of course, a guy who won 4 MVPs, who won a Super Bowl, who's probably going to have a street named after him in Green Bay, who's going to have 12 retired in the rotunda of Lambeau Field. Him talking about the team and the exit and his relationship with the GM, the guy who's still in place and Matt LaFleur. There's an anecdote at the top of the story about how people were telling Aaron Rodgers that it wasn't a Matt LaFleur thing. And he sort of hints like, yeah, at a certain point, that decision, Matt LaFleur was a part of that decision. How he had people say Matt LaFleur was looked pretty excited about the Jordan Love pick, didn't he? I've mentioned that a number of times. Noted Locked On Packers listener Aaron Rodgers potentially. Of course, this is a story. Of course, this is a story. What are we doing here? And again, I don't want to turn this into a straw man because I know most of you are not those people. But some of you are out there and I know you see them. I know you hear them. I know you talk to those people. You're probably on group text with those people who are just like, you know what? I just want to focus on the team. You know what I'd love to do? You know what I'd absolutely love to do is just talk about Jordan Love and just talk about Luke Musgrave, what we're going to do, and just talk about Matt LaFleur and Joe Barry and Rashawn Gary, who's back and moving at OTAs, though not, you know, not back. Eric Stokes back moving at OTAs. Romeo Doubs making an impression, had his best day in a while yesterday. Let's talk about all of that. But guess what? When Matt Schneidman, and kudos to him for calling Aaron Rodgers or texting him or whatever he did and saying, do you want to comment on this reporting? Kudos to him for doing that because Aaron Rodgers said, yeah, sure, I'll talk. And this is echoing of 2021. when Rodgers said, okay, we're going to put this behind me. I'm coming back. We're doing the thing. And then he gave 17 interviews for 6 months on all the stuff that happened and just kept talking about it and kept bringing it up. It's like, dude, you don't seem over it. You keep saying, I'm over it. We're working on it. We're getting past it. You don't really seem over it because you keep wanting to bring it up. Just a weird thing. And guess who's making it a story? Aaron Rodgers. Every time he opens his mouth to talk about it, he makes it a story. People thought the FaceTime thing was a joke. Some people, the water carriers, the capers, thought that him saying, oh, well, he didn't FaceTime me, thought that was a joke. And then it's in the piece. Rodgers doubles down on the, I don't have service at my house. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? This guy, the contempt that he has for you, for me, for all of us, for the viewing and listening public, for the fans of his, the contempt that he has, the lack of intelligence that he thinks we have to just buy stuff like that hook, line, and sinker is incredible. It is amazing how stupid he thinks you and I are. It is remarkable, truly remarkable. But as long as he's talking about it, it's going to be a story. So understand that. And for those of you who want to say, let's focus on the team, I agree. I want to focus on the team. But there's enough reporting in this story that's not even related to some of the comments of Aaron Rodgers that we're going to have to talk about it. We're talking about a Packers writer talking about the Green Bay Packers, and a former Packer legend is talking about his team. It's a story, but I know you know that. All right, we're going to get to some actual football coming up in just a second. But before we do, today's episode brought to you by our good friends over at FanDuel. The NBA Finals kicks off tonight. And we had a great conversation on Locked On Sports today with Matt Moore, who covers the Nuggets for Locked On Nuggets. And he's also a betting writer by trade. And he gave out some great advice that the vast majority of this playoffs, teams that have won, have covered. And so if you think the Heat, for example, are going to cover, you should just bet them on the money line. And guess what? You're getting much better odds if you do that. In fact, you're getting awesome odds if you do that. So you think the Heat are going to cover? Bet them to win game one. If they're going to win a game, it's going to be game one. Now, the problem is, as Matt Moore pointed out, teams that played in a game seven are terrible in a game one. So if you're going to bet on the Nuggets, the flip side of that is rather than bet the money line where you're not getting any value, bet the points, lay the points. You're going to get much better odds on that. And if they win, they're probably going to cover. And let's face it, they're probably going to cover. And if you're a new customer right now, you can get a no sweat first bet up to $2,500. Not $1,000. Used to be $1,000. Now it's $2,500. There's no place, better place to bet on all the playoff action than America's number one sportsbook. Visit FanDuel.com/lockedon and get a no sweat first bet up to $2,500. That's FanDuel.com/lockedon. FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA. And thanks for making Locked On Packers your first listen every day. Every day is tomorrow on the show. We're going to talk about Jordan Love. I wrote about this on Wednesday, this idea of being aggressive. I wanted to lead with it today, but this Aaron Rodgers stuff came up, and so we couldn't do it. But so a lot more coming up on that. All football, all the time, as long as they let us, coming up tomorrow. So let's talk about Luke Musgrave. I understand it's just one practice. I understand it's just a couple of videos that are going viral. But to see his movement skills on an NFL field, understanding it's just practice. A guy almost 6'6", 250 plus, that can move the way that he does. And the clip that went viral, it's a little inside release. He bends it back inside and then has to reach behind him for the ball in full stride and plucks it out of the air. To see a guy that big moving that fluidly there may not be five guys in the league who have those kinds of movement skills. We're talking about pure movement, athletic ability, that size, that speed, those movement skills. Maybe 10. Absolute max 15. Well, there's right now there's 90 guys on every roster. Times 30. Okay, do the math. We're talking about, what, over 2,500 players. And there might be 15. Let's be really generous. If there's 25 players, we're talking about fractional percentage points at the top. That is the kind of athlete he looks like in shorts. Now, all the caveats that we need to add. Josh Jones looked great in shells until the pads came on. And once he had to diagnose and read and react and do all this stuff, didn't look so good. I get it. But this is the data that we have. So I'm not going to put him in the Hall of Fame. But Matt LaFleur raved about him in the post game, well, post practice, talked about his speed as an elite trait. And this is something the Packers look for. In all of their high draft picks, especially, but in every position, every starter that they have, their goal is to find guys with elite traits, at least one elite trait. Think about the 2021 Packers receiver room. Devontae Adams, elite separator. Now, he was a complete receiver, but that's the elite trait. Body control. I mean, he's got it all, but elite separator. Let's just start there. MBS, elite deep threat. Alan Lazard, elite blocker. Elite, S tier. All of them had ultra elite traits. And Randall Cobb, once upon a time, was an elite slot player. He's not anymore, but once upon a time, he was. Okay, look at this current room of pass catchers. Who has elite traits? Christian Watson is an elite vertical athlete and showed last year he is an elite speed player. The hope on Romeo Doubs is that he can become an elite route runner. I think that is going to be his role. The guy who can just on third and six win on a slant. In fact, it was on display yesterday on the practice field, a couple slants, in breakers, winning with route running, noticeably playing faster. And he talked about it. I understand the plays better. I understand why we're calling the plays, how they work in tandem. And so that frees me up to just go play. He's really fast. He's really twitchy. He's really explosive. And so if he is playing freely, his route running can be elite, but it's not there yet. I think when you look at this pass catcher group, Jaden Reed, they want him to be an elite separator from the slot. You use a top 70 pick on a guy like that. You expect him. He's got to have some sort of elite traits. Now, I didn't see them personally on tape. I think if you look at his college tape, you go, okay, contested situations, my ball mentality for a player his size, that's elite. We're stretching the definition here a little bit. But can he be an elite slot player with vertical ability? That would be the idea. But we haven't seen it translate yet. Luke Musgrave, immediately, elite speed. His ability to threaten the seam vertically has a chance to, I know tight ends take some time, that speed right away can play. And I want to point your attention to one place. Chig Okwankwo from Maryland went to Tennessee. And he didn't get a lot of opportunities. But on a per target basis, he was pretty, pretty incredible. Okonkwo is 238, 6'3", and a plus-plus athlete. And when you look at his opportunities, he had 32 catches for 450 yards and 3 touchdowns. Averaged 14 yards per catch as a tight end. That is elite in an offense that was, by the way, absolute garbage. It was terrible. This offense can be much better. And those kinds of numbers, I mean, if Luke Musgraves gets 60 targets, 65 targets, and puts up those kind of numbers, that's a really nice rookie season. Elite speed right away. Almost all of that Chig stuff was schemed up. He's not going and winning, beating corners one-on-one. Use his speed, get him in the flat, run those little boot slides where he's, it looks like split zone and he's slicing across the formation and you've got a little dump off and he's now in open space. Him running that, or I love when Christian Watson does it, but him doing it versus Lazard or Big Bob Tonyan or Mercedes Lewis, it changes the geometry of everything you're doing offensively. And so that speed, you run leak, you run play action, where now he's running a deep over, you split him out, you run Yankee, you run dagger with this guy. He's big enough and strong enough and fast enough to just do it, to just go play receiver at times. Look, I understand. I'm being unreasonable. That was the point of the segment, is to just be a little unreasonable. But again, the Packers look for the elite traits. It's who they are. Elite athleticism, he has that. So does Tucker Kraft. We haven't seen Tucker Kraft, and Tucker Kraft was hurt yesterday, not at practice. So we haven't seen what his elite traits are yet. I think his elite ability is actually just to be super well-rounded. He can be one of the most complete tight ends if he hits his ceiling in every facet. The ability to make plays and then have run after catches, to just win with speed across the field, have a safety or a linebacker try and run with him, good luck. And then at that size in the red zone, if you're going to play too high, you're going to play cover two especially, but if you're going to play too high, you're going to play quarters. Make the safety cover. Make the safety run. How many safeties can run with this guy, especially when, you know, now you're at the flying 20, flying 40, he's running full speed. That safety's got to turn and run. He can run by guys. When you see, you know, the GPS stuff, he showed out at the Senior Bowl. We heard about that from Jim Nagy last week. You see it in the Pac-12 and you go, okay, how real is this on an NFL field? So far, against the big boys, the speed of Luke Musgrave is for real. And it is something that is very exciting. It's okay to be excited about it, with the understanding that it doesn't mean anything yet in terms of his ability to play football on the field. But if you want to just check some boxes along the way, some touchstones here, you go, okay, he was drafted to be a move tight end. So does he have the movement skills to be a move tight end? Unequivocally, the answer is yes. All right, we're going to be finishing up here talking about some of the actual reporting things that we can get to, not the Aaron Rodgers of it all in that story from Matt Schneidman. But before we get there, thanks to everyone who makes Locked On Packers their first listen every day, everydayers. Go check out The Leap. We're partnering with Underdog Fantasy for the next couple months on getting the content to you. So go check out Underdog as well, of course. And go check out Locked On Sports today. NBA Finals are here. Baseball's here. Talked baseball on the show today. Talked NBA Finals. Talked DeAndre Hopkins. Our whole Leap newsletter on Monday was dedicated to DeAndre Hopkins. There's so much great content out there for you to go check it out. Locked On Sports today, The Leap. And of course, Locked On Packers. So what I think is interesting is, If you read Matt Schneidman's story, Syracuse graduate, go Orange. I thought he framed it very interestingly, because he had two or three central pieces of reporting. And they were the frustration that the Packers had that Rodgers didn't go to OTAs after getting his money with rookie receivers and all that stuff. And that he wanted Brian Gutekunst fired. Now, it is interesting that for as often as Rodgers is willing to take shots at Gutekunst, including in this story, he did not go so far to say, yeah, I wanted that guy out. He demurred. He referred to his agent, and his agent, David Dunn, who apparently was the one who conveyed this request, did not respond to comment for the story. So, okay, that piece aside. The other part of this is this idea of miscommunication, not communicating. Rodgers, for his part, acted like, I mentioned this, yeah, we talked, but I didn't ghost him, but also he didn't FaceTime me, and also I don't like him, so I didn't text him back. And then acted like that's why he got traded, because the Packers couldn't get a hold of him. It's like, no, that's not why he got traded, and don't act like that's what happened. You're not a victim. Stop this. But the firing stuff is real. I've been telling you on the show, longtime listeners, everydayers, I've been telling you since 2021 that was real, that he wanted Brian Gutekunst and or Mark Murphy fired. They were preconditions to his return. And the Packers, Mark Murphy, to his credit on Brian Gutekunst, said, nah. And that's the right call. Because you can't do that. You can't do that. And I think that this all is setting up not just this season, but the idea that Mark Murphy said, we're picking Brian Gutekunst over Aaron Rodgers. There's this idea that there's all this pressure this season on the Packers to win and be good. If anything, the opposite is true. Because Mark Murphy did pick. And he picked Brian Gutekunst. And so you're going to give this guy some leash. And you're going to give Jordan Love some leash. And you're going to give Matt LaFleur some leash. Because you want to be the guy that wins all of this. You know, Aaron Rodgers trying very, very hard to be the guy who's letting everybody know on Instagram that I'm doing great. I'm going to Taylor Swift concerts. It's all cool. The other part of this is the OTAs. And I thought Romeo Doubs had a really interesting comment. He talked about chemistry and he said, chemistry is real. And he had worked with Jordan Love in the offseason, understanding that this was going to be what was going on. Amazing that a quarterback and his receivers would get together and work out. And whether or not it actually helps, they think it helps. And if they think it helps, if it gives them confidence, then it helps. Even if the actual rhythm of it is not some panacea for all your issues. And here's how I know Aaron Rodgers agrees. He's at Jets OTAs. He's running meetings, according to the reporting out of New York. And that Nathaniel Hackett, when he's teaching these concepts, is teaching them. And then Rodgers is, if guys aren't getting it, stepping in to offer clarifications. That would be really helpful to have done last year with Romeo Doubs and Christian Watson when Rodgers was saying OTAs are a glorified photo op. And he essentially repeats that in this piece, that when you understand what OTAs are, it's not important for me to be there, except it is. And you proved that it was by being there and everyone raving about you being there because of what you're bringing to the meetings, because of the way that you raise the bar when you're in the building. Everyone knows that. And the people last year who were arguing that it wasn't that big a deal or that it was no deal at all were wrong. They were covering his ass. That's all they were doing. Or they were just, they thought it was cool to be the one who's like, this is no big deal. Because it's Aaron Rodgers. And because you kind of, you don't want to be the one that's like panicking, oh, this is a big deal. There's some amount of cynicism in media for people to go, if I say this is no big deal, I look cool. Because the carnival barkers are saying this is the biggest deal ever. And I get that. I don't think it was the biggest deal ever. But here's the truth. Aaron Rodgers didn't come to OTAs last year because he didn't think he needed them. He's at OTAs now for two reasons. One, he does need them in New York with a new team, a new offense, new coaches. But also, he wants to show the Packers that I can be committed. It is so X behavior. It's just not even funny. Oh, I treated you bad. Let me show you how great I'm treating this person. I mean, this is like, it is from the manipulation playbook. It is so silly. But what he betrays in these quotes is something we already knew was true. He didn't go because he didn't need it, without thinking about whether or not his teammates needed it, or without caring. More likely, he thought about it and said, I don't care. The Packers didn't do anything to help me, so I'm not going to help them. I know that I can come back and I can play well without OTAs, which, by the way, it turns out, no, you can't. Turns out, no, you can't. But we knew this was always about that. We knew it was always about his ego. He knew he could be fine. I said this a year ago. It's not about Aaron Rodgers, who operates the offense at a, 400, 600 level. This is about the guys who need the offense at a 100 level, who are freshmen in college in this offense. They need you there. Especially when it's the case that we know over the years, the coaches have taught it one way, and then Aaron Rodgers steps in and goes, let's do it this way. And it's a tweak, or it's an adjustment, or it's a clarification. Guess what? If you start that in April, May, it's different than if you start it in mid-August. Or in the case of Christian Watson, who's hurt in camp in early September, and then he gets hurt again. It was a selfish decision. A nakedly selfish decision. And you know how I know that? Because he's in New Jersey right now working. All right, we're going to be back tomorrow. Hopefully not talking about Aaron Rodgers. I know you think I love talking about Aaron Rodgers. And, sometimes I do. I did not want to talk about this today. I wanted to talk about Jordan Love. I wrote the piece on Wednesday. It's Thursday. I didn't want to wait till Friday to talk about the thing that I did research on, that I did work on. I didn't want to do that. But He didn't care. Follow me on Twitter, Peter_Bukowski. Follow the podcast on Twitter, Locked On Packers. Like us on Facebook. Subscribe to the podcast, iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you find podcasts, you'll find Locked On Packers. And anytime you want to come hang out with us live on our Locked On Packers YouTube page, you can do that. To stay Locked On Packers.